Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 96 of the World of Goldcraft. As usual, I be your host, the Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and I'm going to talk about goldmaking in World of Warcraft. As usual, I'll be going through my week, and what I've been doing and how it's gone in terms of goldmaking, both in BFA and retail. No, both in BFA and Classic, of course. I'll be talking about what's going on with the game and a discussion point. And of course, this week, once this one's out for everyone, it might feel like it's a week too late. But I'm recording this the day after the Gallywix Boost community got banned, or at least a lot of key accounts got banned in that community, which is obviously the topic of the day for anyone who's interested in the economic side of the game. So that's a no-brainer to talk about, to share my thoughts on that whole debacle. So hopefully that's going to be interesting. As always, this podcast is made available by my patrons that, amongst other things, can get a week early access to all of my episodes and all of the content at thelazygoldmaker.com. So if you're interested in that, you can join me at patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. All right, but before we jump into the juicy drama, let's take a look at how my week went. So I'm finally a full week back from vacation, so that's nice. Got in my usual full 3 sessions of reposting my auctions across my 9 BFA realms, and I got a nice amount of sales. So I got 1.3 million in sales. Still just slowly moving my BOEs. So I've been making a lot of net profit from BOEs lately because I've just been reposting and selling them. So that's very nice, currently up at about 12.5 million gold in profit from BOEs. And just for the last 2 weeks, I've been making about 3 million gold profit on BOEs, mostly from just selling off stuff I had already bought. So that's very, very, very nice. Currently sitting at 21.2 million gold. I think that's actually a record for me. I finally passed the 20 million barrier. And I'll continue rising above that for a while, most likely. Haven't bought tokens in a while, so that's part of the equation, obviously. But it's been a slow, steady increase ever since patch 8.3, so that's very nice. And we'll see. Maybe I can hit 25, 20, 30 million before Shadowlands. Most likely about 25 if I keep selling BOEs, because I'm not doing anything else. And I probably won't, because I'm just having a little too much fun focusing on Classic in terms of endgame and doing stuff. So I'm just going to stick to flipping in BFA and just essentially slowly get out of the BOE market and have my characters ready to go for Shadowlands when I'm going to go pretty hard on crafting, as hard as I possibly can with my playtime schedule. So that's going to be fun. Anyway, yeah. Very nice week for BFA overall. Super happy with the results, and nothing much of interest to report outside of that. Right now, of course, the last part of the expansion, it's not going to be that interesting in terms of BFA crafts, mostly just cosmetic items are your best bet at this point. So, Classic, how's Classic looking? Well, a pretty good week in terms of sales. I hit 3,600 gold in sales. I finished leveling my professional to level 30, and I power leveled, Engineering, Goblin Engineering. So I can now craft separate charges on my second account, which is very nice because they take a ton of time to craft through, particularly the solid blasting powder. Currently sitting at 4,100 liquid gold, with 3,400 on the auction house. I've not been too good at restocking this week because I've been spending most of the week farming Scarab Lord fragments for the guild. So gold making has been a little bit on the back burner outside of crafting as many separate charges as I can. I did, I think, one restocking session for alchemy, and I probably sold out a lot of my consumables. I also ended up buying the BOE staff from Sol Gurub for my warlock for about 300 gold, just to be slightly more efficient when we're farming fragments. So that's pretty much what the week has been. Not making much gold from that. And since I'm in a relatively casual guild, We're still going to need quite a few more days to get done with the Scarab Lord grind, because we don't really have the manpower or people able to put in like huge amounts of hours outside of our Scarab Lord hopeful. So yeah, it's I'm at 300 gold more in auction house value, 400 gold more than last week, so that's a nice increase. And I spent 300 gold, maybe a little bit more, on gearing my characters, so like overall probably about 700 gold in actual profit this week, but not too much movement on the numbers. And I really want to start seeing my liquid gold actually increase, because I've been plateaued for like the longest time, which is very embarrassing. So yeah, we'll see. Of course, what's going on? Let's turn our attention to what's going on with the game. BFA right now, I don't think I have anything to say here. We are still just going to be waiting for more news on Shadowlands. I'll be covering more of that when I can, but nothing much to say. So that's about it for BFA. I'll be doing more in-depth stuff on Shadowlands rather than taking it as part of this column. So yeah. Now for Classic, of course, I'm recording this on the first day of the first reset after Phase 5 opened up. So on a lot of realms, Anchorage is already open. People have managed to bang the gong, complete the war effort, and get out into the world. On my realm, that has not happened at all. We're still very far from the war effort, and my realm, which is Sandalar Tribe EU, made the rounds on Reddit this week with a lot of memes, because it's a absolutely hilarious cluster. It's like it's everything is going to hell, essentially. So the Horde guilds, a lot of the Horde players are claiming that the main hardcore guild Praxis had claimed that they were going to farm all of the materials. I don't know if they did or not, but they obviously have not farmed all of the materials. So, and then all of the Horde guilds, so Horde is like, Horlord is outnumbered on our realm, and all the Horde guilds, they don't want to turn in materials for the war effort. So Alliance mostly done with the Alliance side materials, but Horde is just over 50%. And progress is very slow. At the current rate, I think we're still looking at 10-11 days until we're done with turning in materials, and then there's the 5-day period before while moving stuff to Silithus. So most of the hardcore, like more hardcore guilds, are on the Alliance side, and they're pissed off because they want to raid and they don't want to lose an Anchorage lockout, because that's going to really hamper them in the long term when it comes to speedrun. That's going to be one lockout less gear, or two lockouts less gear even, potentially. The Horde guilds are more on the casual side and essentially don't care. So yeah, they've been spamming YouTube, they've been spamming the meme channels. It's absolutely crazy. This is something you'll only ever get in Classic, this level of absolutely pure hatred. Like, they're really spewing it out. They've been having a running hate session on the Realm Discord server for 5 days now, and it's still no signs of stopping. So it's going to be interesting. There might be some people there might be some guilds keeping stuff in their banks and ready to turn it in. Who knows? If you're interested, I highly recommend checking out some of the posts on the Classic WoW Reddit. Just search for Sandalar Tribe and you should find them. So this is the kind of hilarious drama that only Classic can offer. Since I'm in a relatively casual dad gamer style guild, we're still just focusing on trying to get Scarab Lord in time, which is going to be a little bit hard, but I think we'll make it. Especially without how slow things are going. So unless something massively changes on the material front, then we're going to make it. I know that there are people sniping the auction house because the Alliance people are obviously having to move the materials over with the neutral auction house. So there are Horde people trying to snipe the auction house constantly to get the materials for, as they're posted for very low prices, and then vendoring them or just trying to sell them. So yeah, that's pretty cool. I also read a post on the WoW Economy Reddit about a guy who had made like 4,000 gold just from buying out a huge amount of Peace Bloom early on when they were super cheap. and keeping them until the war effort. And Peace Bloom is one of the true bottleneck materials. So he made out like a bandit, just made 4,000 gold just from Peace Bloom, which is insane. But yeah, definitely crazy times in Classic. Anchorage fell over, unsurprisingly. But it does look like Nature Resistance gear was a must, so guilds that haven't stacked up on that for Visitas are going to have a hard time. Nature Resistance potions are probably going to be very useful for a long time as well, based on what I've seen from top guilds clearing the instance so far. So I think they're going to be a great source of profit. Sapper charges are also going to be huge, because Visitas is looking like the hardest boss, and Sapper charges are extremely good on Visitas. So I'm very happy I have my Sapper crafter ready, because I expect to get a lot of business, because people are going to... now they just get Sappers because they help a bit. On Visitas, they make the fight super easy compared to not having Sappers. So every engineer is going to bring Sappers to Visitas every week, I think. So yeah, that's about it for Classic. So let's turn our attention to this week's discussion point. So huge breaking news this week. Blizzard took action against the largest and oldest and biggest, most well-known boosting community in retail WoW, the Galliwix community. It's been doing gold-only boosting for a long time. And it has had some of the top guilds in the world doing Mythic Raid boosts for them, including I think both Limit and Method, at least Method. And apparently some of the people involved, including like the main guy who's been running the community, have been doing real money trading on the side with their with the gold they get or collect in management fees for running the entire community. So a lot of the accounts associated with the community have been banned. So yeah, that's a huge deal, obviously. Asmongold, which I'm sure most of you will be familiar with, actually interviewed some of the mods and admins from the community on stream. Of course, I don't know if there actually were mods and admins. I haven't verified their identity, but we're going to assume that they were. And that was very interesting to hear them talk. Now, some of them claimed that this was a complete surprise to them. And I do think that for some people they probably were. And then there was one guy who was saying, like, if you didn't realize this was happening, then you're an idiot. Yeah, overall, definitely everyone points to the fact that the owner, Tolls, or the main guy, was definitely engaging in real money trading. And probably a lot of people on the council were, or at least they were selling gold facilitated by Tolls. So that's sort of the main gist of it. And then apparently the accounts that were banned had a total of 4.6 billion gold on them. So that's a lot of money taken out of the economy. So we're going to go through all of this and share my thoughts. Now, I'm going to have to preface this entire segment by saying that I don't know anything about the inner workings of boosting communities or anything like that. I joined the Galliwix Discord server quite a while back because I was interested in what kind of stuff they were selling just trying to figure out like what kind of gold you can make from boosting if you're good at PvE or PvP. So that was that's the extent. I haven't bought any boosts. I bought some boosts at the end of Warlords of Draenor. I think that was the last time I bought a boost. For Hellfire Citadel, for the Moose Mount. I think that was Hellfire Citadel. That's about the last time I bought something like this. I don't even remember if it was a community or just a guild doing it at the time. But boosting is obviously taken off completely since then. So what do I think? Well, personally, I'm not surprised. I've hinted at this during some streams. I know that I've hinted that I think that it's likely that some people are involved in these communities and are doing real money trading. And there's some reasons why I've thought that. Number one, like, these communities have been insanely well organized. Insanely well organized. Like, the Galliwix Discord was extremely professional looking. The entire process was extremely professional for everyone involved. Applying to become a booster, applying to become an advertiser, very clearly defined tiers, levels, payout structures, everything was just hyper professionalized. And when someone's willing to put that much effort into something, it's usually because they make money off of it. Usually. Of course, they did get paid in gold, like at least on paper, and then probably a lot of them ended up with so much gold that they just didn't know what to do with it. Because that's the other part of this. Like, the amount of spam in trade chat on any big realm, the amount of boost community spam, is just off the charts. So why is there so much spam? It's because, well, there's a lot of gold to be made in advertising boosts, clearly. Otherwise, all of these people would not be doing it. So this indicates that there's a lot of gold going into the boosting communities, and then if you take a 20% management fee of all of the gold that the Galavix boosting community collects, that's a lot of gold. That's a lot of gold. If they had 4.6 million billion in their accounts, they owned at least 20% of that, which is like 1 billion gold. Which isn't like a huge amount of real money, but it's so much gold that you have no way to spend it. Like, what are you going to spend that much gold on, even with tokens? It depends on how many people it's split apart, but like, you could buy so many full Hearthstone collections with that. You could buy the entire Battle.net game store. Like, there's really nothing to spend it on in game. Like, you could buy every TCG mount, of course. But unless you really really care about cosmetics or vanity items, it's hard to even spend 100 million on legit in game gameplay goals. So at that point, it's like, okay, what do I do? Well, I'm making so much gold, I might as well try making some real money. And worst case scenario, I get banned, but I have 6,000 euros, as one of the guys who Asman interviewed had. It's like, probably a good idea for people. So overall, like, the incentives were there. The gold was there. Everything would point to the fact that it would make sense to turn this gold into real money. Now, I'm not at that level yet, obviously. I mean, I risk that. I have 21 million gold. I don't really have anything to spend it on, but at least I'm pretty upfront with how I make money off of this, which is through Patreon. So I think that's also important to do if you're into any part of this. Like, real money trading is really bad for the game. You could argue that the token is the same and is really bad for the game, and I'd probably agree with you. Even though, of course, for me personally, it's a good thing that the token is there, because I can buy a lot of games for cheap with the gold I have. Yeah. More interesting, perhaps, than the community or an interesting add-on is, of course, the fact that at least one of the biggest guilds in the world, formerly known as Method, now Echo, bought gold for money from the Galavix boosting community for their race to world first for Nyalatha. Apparently they bought 130 million gold to fund all of the BOEs with corruptions. So, and this has been confirmed by Method, by Scribe himself, so this is not like some slander or theory or something, this is confirmed. So that's pretty interesting. But even they just spent 130 million or just bought that. I think they borrowed some gold on a more legit basis as well. According to the admins, Limit also borrowed gold, but they did not RMT with Galavix, at least. I'm not super surprised by this either. Now, of course, I had no specific reason to believe that any of this was going on. Just some suspicions. But at the highest level of competition in very many areas of life, people are willing to push far into the gray areas, if not outright into illegal or at least stuff that is against the rules. This happens in sport all the time. There's been consistently scandals where people have been busted for performance-enhancing drugs that are against the rules of their given sport. So the logic is there. Like, at a certain point, you're willing to almost pay any price to win at the level of competition. That's the kind of personality these people will have. Like, they just want to win. They want to give themselves the absolute best shot they have at winning. And to do that, you're willing to RMT as well, even if that hurts the integrity of World of Warcraft as a MMO game. But at the level of method, they're not really playing it on the same way as an MMO as a lot of other people do. They are playing it on another level where they, when you come to world first level raiding, they're almost playing a different game. But yeah, I suspect that we will see more dominoes fall over the next couple of weeks or months. I don't think Galawix is the only boosting community to do this. I don't think Method... I'd be surprised if Method is the only top guild to do this. Although probably very few of the other top guilds have the same amount of financial muscles that Method has. The prizes that were quoted on Asmund's stream for how much money they sold the gold for were pretty low. Like, it was about 50 euros for 1 million gold, which is pretty cheap. You can afford to buy quite a few BOEs if you're really serious about the game. And that's a lot cheaper than buying gold with the token. So, yeah. I think we'll see some more people going. Now, I should also say that I think that most of the people involved with boosting, advertising, and doing the work for the community, I think that they have not really done anything wrong per se. Like, they couldn't know what the management fees were going to or being used to. And the community, as far as I know, has been extremely diligent in keeping real money trading out of the boosting side of the business. It's more what they've been using the management fees for at the end, once they just accumulate so much gold that they don't really have anything to do with it. So I think the majority of people who were involved in that side of it are not really done anything particularly blameworthy. Although I will say that I hope that this leads to less clutter in trade, and hopefully less that Blizzard can do something to avoid the fact that boosting is by far the best way to make gold in the game. The last thing to cover is, of course, the amount of gold that was just deleted out of the economy, or at least deleted out of the game. So what will the effects of that be? Honestly, it's very hard to say. It does seem like a lot of guilds that were running boosts, and most of them just kept their money with Galawix. They had their balance sheet and they didn't withdraw it. But Galawix apparently worked a little bit as a bank as well, which is surprising to me. When you hear about guilds having like a 38 million balance with Galawix, and not withdrawing it, and then some of the admins having like 300 plus million gold just stashed in the Galawix community accounts rather than their own, you'd think you'd want to withdraw and turn it into something useful. But it is what it is. So it's hard to say like how often this money actually re-entered the economy, or whether the money that the Galawix community had was essentially just salted down into these accounts and not really plugged back into the economy. Because if it's the latter, then I don't think the effects will be too much. But if these accounts regularly did large-scale trading, like they regularly added gold in from sellers and regularly moved gold out to boosters, if they had a lot of throughput, then I think the effect is going to be significant. And that would lead to a pretty hefty period of deflation, where prices should go down on most stuff as gold becomes the purchasing power of gold increases. There's less gold to go around, so you can't pay as much gold per item anymore. But yeah, we'll see. The token on EU first went up and then it went down, and now it's trending upwards again and soon to be at roughly the same value as it was before this all happened. But yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen to the economy. It'll be very interesting to see. I'm gonna keep watch on like some of the unobtainables, the prices of stuff like TCG pets, where the supply is essentially fixed, and see what happens. But it's quite a bit of gold, 4.6 billion across EU and NA, so about 2.6 on NA and 2.2 on EU was the number I heard. So that's a lot of gold to just delete, a lot of gold. So we'll see. I do expect more to happen in this area. Like, I don't think if Blizzard has banned Gelawex, they are making an example of them, but probably it means they're gonna go after more of them. So we'll see. What do you guys think? If you have your thoughts, please share them in the comment section for the episode, or tweet them at me, or come join me on Twitch and talk about it. I think this is a pretty interesting turn of events. So I wonder what the next scandal will be. Either way, we're at the end of this week's episode. If you enjoyed it and you want to read about gold making, focused more on actually making gold and doing it by playing the game properly, trading with other players on the auction house, then you can head to thelazygoldmaker.com. If you want to support the show, then you can do so at patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. And on that note, I wish you all a very profitable week. Goodbye, guys.